Meeting Tom Cruise is a production of the Dan Patrick Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.
I get settled. I think, oh, I'm good. And I swivel my chair around to face the camera, and Tom Cruise is sitting on the other side of the desk. And I turn around, see him freeze, and he goes, "Hey, Christy, what's up?" I have no idea what to say. I just sit there. Like, I,
he knows,
like,
your name.
I can't talk. He knows my name. Tom Cruise knows my name.
Jeff, you okay?
This is why I married her.
Tom Cruise is the greatest movie star of all time. He's the first actor to have six consecutive $100 million grossing films. He's shrouded in mystery, and yet to many is one of the nicest and hardest working people. We love Tom Cruise. We are inspired by Tom Cruise. And while we work in Hollywood, we've never actually met Tom Cruise. So we're going to talk to some people who have. We'll hear some great stories, and maybe, just maybe, one of them one day will lead us to the man himself so that we can have stories of our own. Our own stories of meeting Tom Cruise.
Au revoir, Chris Hemsworth, and welcome back, Tom Cruisers, to the podcast that would win an Oscar for Best Podcast. It's Meeting Tom Cruise. I'm your host, Jeff Meacham, and with me, as always, is the Benji to my Ethan, the Goose to my Mav. He's the amazing Joel Johnstone. Joel, level this podcast up right now.
We are back.
Yes, sir. And also here with us is Alec.
It's my birthday. Give me more than that.
Nope. Gents, listen, I was thinking about Tom Cruise this week, and Alec, I want you to experience what it's like to see Joel Johnstone really lose his mind. Like, you, I don't think you've quite seen it yet. So I was thinking about Tom Cruise this week because Tom Cruise is age-defying. You know, sure. He's almost 60 years old, and he's still doing all these amazing things. He's at the top of his game. And there's another guy out there whose name starts with Tom, who's also age-defying and is also at the top of his game.
Mad.
Oh, God.
And his name is Tom Brady.
God. Oh,
he just won his seventh Super Bowl, he's the greatest quarterback of all time. No questions asked.
I'm sorry. I think the Tampa Bay defense won the Super Bowl. Tom was there and was a functional quarterback.
Tom's three touchdowns didn't matter. Okay, cool. So I get what you're saying.
No, they didn't matter because you didn't need three touchdowns. They gave up 9 points to the greatest offense in football.
All I'm simply saying is that Tom Brady is the greatest football player of all time, and that is undisputable.
And
Alec,
all I'm
any opinion
saying
on that?
Is oh, okay. Andy yep. Dalton could have won that game and been the hero for a day. Tom Brady, more often than not that he's not one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He is. But a lot of times, he is lucky to be there. Exhibit A, Malcolm Butler.
Uh-huh.
The greatest defensive play in Super Bowl history. The greatest defensive play.
Sure.
It was unbelievable. Who won the MVP that game?
Tom Brady.
Exactly. That's my point. Who won that game? Malcolm Butler. But somebody else who threw two interceptions that game won the MVP.
Tom Brady is the luckiest quarterback of all time. I'll tell you that.
He is not the greatest quarterback of all time.
He has survived on luck.
Shall I give you an exhibit A?
The tuck rule, motherfucker.
He started his Super Bowl run
on the refs inventing a new rule because he fumbled the ball.
Okay, you're right, Jeff. That was fun watching Joel do that.
I told you.
Here's what's incredible. You have found something I care even less about. Can we get back? I can't believe I'm saying this. Can we get back to Tom Cruise?
All right, later in this episode, we'll be joined by the greatest person in the world. But first, question of the week, Alec, go.
All right, I'm going to bring back last week's question, which we did not get to, which
is... No, we did not.
Who is your favorite of Tom Cruise's muses? Jeff.
All right, Cruise's muses. So here we go. My fifth place.
Fifth place, jeez. I'm going to start folding my laundry, if that's okay with everyone.
I cannot pronounce either one of their names. And you and I have talked about this. This is the two women from Oblivion, Andrea Riseborough and Olga Kurylenko. And this is the same director. This is one of my favorite directors out there. I can't remember his name. He's the guy, Joseph Kaczynski.
All I do is I think about him and his genius, and I can't remember his name.
He directed Tron Legacy, which I loved. He directed Oblivion, and then he's directing a little small film called Top Gun Maverick. What do you think? Do you like those two? Are you good on that?
I mean, they're not mine, but sure.
Okay. All right. 4, Michelle Monaghan in MI3. That's the best. That's, to me, that's the woman who he's had the best marriage relationship with. Okay. And for the next one, I'm going to put this with 4 because, again, I loved his relationship.
No, you can't have 2 slots 5 and 4, Jeff. This podcast has to end this week.
All right. I loved his relationship with Carrie Russell in that movie. I love the mentor.
Fine. Move on.
Shh. Okay. Number 3, Penelope Cruz in Vanilla Sky. Okay, is she not the most likable human being in the planet in that movie? And she has maybe the greatest line that, could you just wrap your mind around the idea of seeing this line on a script and having to get this line right? When she puts her hands up and she says, I'll tell you in another life when we are both cats.
Say everything now.
I'll tell you in another life when we are both cats.
Who says that? And yet it's the best line in the whole movie. And his character does brilliantly react to it. He's like,
I can't believe you just said that.
Number 2, Nicole Kidman in Far and Away. Not Nicole Kidman in Days of Thunder. In Days of Thunder, she is an abusive woman. She pushes him around. But Nicole Kidman in Far and Away, I mean, they stayed together, right? Because that's the idea. Which ones did he definitely divorce? Like, he definitely didn't stay with What's-Her-Face in Color of Money.
I don't think he stays with Renee Zellweger in Jerry Maguire.
No, Jerry Maguire. They're divorced in 7 years. When the kid grows up to become a teenager.
Yeah, I think he gets another client who becomes a big NFL star.
And then he marries that client's ex-wife. Like, something like that. Like, Jerry, that's the kind of move Jerry would do.
That's exactly what a sports agent would do.
Okay, wait, Joel, do you have another endless list, or do you just have one person?
Wait, hold on. I got one more.
I know. But Joel, do you have an endless list?
Or I have one person and a bonus.
Okay. I want to hold off on number ones. We'd all say our number ones.
Oh, that's fun.
But we only have number ones because Joel and I followed the rules. We're just going to give one.
Okay.
And for the 3 people left listening, I will give you mine, and then Alec will give you this, and then Jeff will give you theirs, and then we'll have one more listener listening.
These guys. Let me tell you who didn't make my list, though. Kelly McGillis.
We don't have time.
Oh, my God.
We're going to cancel our guest because of Jeff's...
Joel, go.
I know she's not terribly popular in the Tom Cruise fandom world right now, and she just gave an interview where she wasn't, you know, the most complimentary.
All right, so everybody, just so you know, Joel is talking about Tandy Newton, who played his muse in MI2, which is arguably
Tom Cruise.
Not just MI2.
She's been in 2 Tom Cruise movies, Jeff.
Oh,
even
can
I
you
can
name,
name
it.
It. Even I
can
too.
I can name it too. Yeah, but she didn't have any scenes with her. Interview with a Vampire.
She was in 2. She was in 2 Tom Cruise movies.
You're right.
Doesn't matter.
Movie is the worst, and their relationship in that movie is the dumbest relationship. So I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't care.
Joel.
She's still Tandy Newton.
Remember the part?
Tandy, if you're listening, hi.
You are? All right. So Tandy Newton is your number 1.
And then my honorable mention, Emmanuel Bert from Mission Impossible 1.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, so you've got Tandy Newton and Emmanuel Birdie. It's nice. Alec Lev, who's your number 1?
I will do 2 now that you've opened this up for me. I would say number 2 would be Nicole Kidman in Eyes Wide Shut. I think she's extraordinary in that.
Yes.
Complicated.
The fact that she didn't get nominated for that movie is ridiculous.
It is. And I think for number 1, I'm going to go with Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio in Color of Money.
Really?
I think she... What I love about Color of Money...
She is so good in that movie.
In the movie that...
She got nominated.
In that movie, that Paul Newman movie that Tom Cruise is in, Tom Cruise, I think it's great that his arc, at the end, he's not fully formed yet. He's still kind of who he is, but he kind of learns the ways of the road a little bit, learns the ways of the street. She learns like a little faster than him.
Yeah.
The whole way through, she's a few steps ahead.
She learns light years ahead of time. I mean, she's a brain surgeon compared
to him. Yeah, you don't know where he's going to go.
But at the end, when he sees, when Paul Newman sees them again at the casino, remember, it's Cruz who's totally grown up, and he's the one that gets upset with her because they didn't get the full amount of money. Remember, so he's fully learned too. His trajectory in that movie is unbelievable as well.
I'm not talking about him.
Yeah, I know. You're right. All right, so my number 1 is different than yours, so this is really exciting. My number 1 Cruz muse, who I think he has the best chemistry with, is Rebecca De Mornay. I think his relationship with De Mornay in Risky Business is so fantastic, how she does the, what are we going to do about this, Joel? And then at the end, when he says it back to her, when he's like, what are we going to do about this? And they're walking away together. I love their relationship together in that movie. And that's my favorite.
And their screen test was electric.
It's legendary. It's legendary. I mean, this is kind of crazy. We did not. So none of us brought up Kelly McGillis. So do we just not Do we not think that they're good together in that film, or what? There's no way they stay together. No way they stay together, and it's proven now that we're Top Gun Maverick's coming out. So
that's true. Can I just pre-choose Jennifer Connelly?
Yes. Yes. I also think we talk about this movie being under the radar, but American Made and Sarah Wright's performance is fantastic in that movie.
Oh, she's great. She is great.
All right, quickly. Are they still married or divorced? Ready? Vincent and Carmen, are they still together?
Hell no.
Oh, no. He's dead. No. He's dead.
Oh, you think Vincent died?
She definitely got back together with that first boyfriend who was doing time, and they put a hit out on Vince.
Yeah.
Good one. Charlie Babbitt and Susanna, there's no way they're still together, right?
No.
Susanna's now with Raymond.
Oh, do you think he went...
They hooked up in the elevator.
That is hilarious. Brian Flanagan and Jordan Mooney from Cocktail, they had a baby together. Did they stay together?
They might have made it and opened... They opened Cocktails and Dreams together.
No, he just kept on sleeping with other women and apologizing.
Yes.
He gained 80 pounds. They moved out to Long Island and he's running a pizza shop.
Yeah.
Guys,
are you impressed
that I know what movies you're talking about with just naming the characters?
Listen, the research level that you did before we did this podcast is something to be. I hope the audience knows that you really did your research. Cole Trickle and Dr. Claire Lewicki. So they must have married each other.
Wait, you stumped me on that one.
Days of Thunder. His Days of Thunder.
All respect to the NASCAR drivers of the world out there, but I don't see a 25-year-old race car driver staying together with one woman till he's dead in the grave. I don't see that.
Yeah, with a very intelligent doctor who exceeds him in intellect nobody's business.
God. Done that up.
Joseph and Shannon, they stayed together. They stayed together. Yes. They lived out in the Wild 100%. West. 100%.
Yeah, 100%. She brought him back to life.
Oh, here's a real fun
one. Joseph and Shannon?
Oh, my God. Far and Away.
Oh, God. Okay.
Joe, they hold the flag up together. He died, and then he comes back to life.
Shannon, why can't you say like my hat, Shannon?
Last one. Chief Anderton and Laura. Do you remember who they are, Alec? This is fun to even play this game to know
Oblivion?
What we're talking about. No, this is
I don't know what you're
Minority
talking.
Report.
Oh.
Remember, they lose their son.
Oh, yeah.
He becomes a drug addict, and then at the end, he finds her again. So did Chief Anderton and Laura stay together?
No, he kills her.
Whoa, is that how we're ending this?
I don't care how we end it, as long as it's over.
And now, commercials.
All right, so our guest today is easily the most important guest we will ever have. More important than Tom Cruise, right, Joel? I mean, I would think so.
Best guest.
Hands down. She is a phenomenally talented actress, but also she's an amazing mother. I am so lucky to be her husband, and she is the reason why this whole thing happened in the first place, and we'll get to that story in a little bit, but for now, I give you Christy Myers, who I'm lucky enough to be married to. Hi, honey.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm a longtime listener, big fan of you guys.
Thanks, babe. Thank you. So quickly, before we get to your story, honey, I just want everybody to know that... you know, this idea has been an idea for, as you know, we've been together for a very long time, for well over a decade. And when we first came up with this podcast idea, I said the guest we have to have to start this whole thing off is my wife, who when we first, like, I think on our first date, she told me the story of how she met Tom Cruise. So because of Christy, we shot an incredible pilot that we shopped around. And that's the reason why we have this soon to be massively successful podcast. So I thank you for that.
You're welcome. It is all because of me and nothing to do with your hard work and Alex's perseverance.
That's right. That's right. Credit where credit is due.
Did you just say that Jeff put hard work into something? Are you sure? Is this the right husband? Is this the right Christy?
Wow. You guys, seriously, he thinks about this constantly. You guys should just see. I mean, we talk Tom Cruise all the time at the house.
I am sorry. I am so
Jeff,
sorry.
Where are the boys? I don't know. I left them at the park. I was thinking about Tom Cruise.
Our kids get it, though. You know, they're like, well, Daddy's doing a podcast on Tom Cruise. He's bound to be forgetful. He's doing important work. So
there you go.
Okay, so we're going to do this. Christy, give us a 30-second synopsis of your life right up to the moment that you first met Tom Cruise. Go.
Okay, I was born and raised in Indianapolis, well, in Indiana, and I, you know, started performing when I was young, singing, dancing, eventually acting, and then I moved to New York and went to college at NYU. And while I was there, I started working with an agent and working professionally, and then I met Tom Cruise.
God, you're so lucky, too. I'm jealous. I've always been jealous, but that's okay. That's why I married you. I love you. Okay, go. Tell us more. How'd it happen?
So I had just started working professionally. I was doing, you know, commercials and off-Broadway shows and little parts on soap operas. And I was like, this is the big time. And yeah, and then very shortly thereafter.
You went from like playing waitress and a soap opera to, hey, Tom Cruise.
Hey, Tommy.
Yeah.
Hey, Tammy. Exactly. Let it be known that Christine and I actually met on the set of one of those soap operas. We met on Guiding yes. Light for all of you you hardcore listeners to know.
That's right. Yeah. So I had just graduated college and I had been working, you know, and like I said, commercials and soap opera stuff, but never, I was really very green. I had never really been on a big set. I didn't know what those looked like. And my agent suggested that I try to get on a big set, maybe do some extra work, see what it's like, see what, you know, what that whole atmosphere was. And so I got out my backstage and, backstage.
That was a newspaper.
It was a newspaper.
Remember that, Joel?
Auditions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
For all you young actors, that is where we went to find our auditions that our agents didn't send us out on. We went to backstage and we looked up in the newspaper and I circled the things that were right for me. And then
with
we
a pen. Made, you used with pens a pen, back then,
or
right?
a highlighter. Sure. Sometimes a highlighter.
Ooh, one fancy.
Yeah. And then I mailed in my headshot and resume with a cover letter. Right? Mailed it in a manila envelope. So that's what happened. I found this call for extra work. It didn't say what it was for or anything, just that they wanted extras for an office scene for a movie shooting in New York. And so I mailed in my headshot and resume and I got a call to come in and it was downtown. I remember it was in the financial district, which I never went to and always got lost in. So I took the subway down and I got out by this old church, this really beautiful old church. And it was just this long line of people because before I thought I was really special, you know, I was being called in from my headshot. I'm going to do this extra work. But it was a long, just a sea of people. So I stood in line forever. And then you come in and they just took a picture of you and then you left. And
even though they had a picture of you.
Even though they had a picture of you.
They got you because they had a picture of you.
Right.
And they made you stand online to take a picture of you.
And it's not even like, it's like you have a good picture of me, and then you're going to stand in line and take a bad picture of me. Right. Right?
That's a great point. That's a great
shit right there.
So they got a bad picture of me. And I was like, well, there's that, right? But I got a call a couple weeks later to come in and do this extra work. And I was very excited, and they still didn't give me any information.
Yeah, you knew nothing at this point? No cruising, no nothing?
No.
Wow.
No. All I knew was that
it
was an
office scene. Did they tell you it was a Cameron Crowe movie?
No.
What?
No, it's just a big budget movie. They're shooting it because at this point we hadn't signed anything. Like we didn't do any non-disclosure or anything. So
this
we're just
extras.
This
is a thing that you would do in New York in the 90s. People would just say, hey, just come here. We've got some cameras. We'd like to film you.
That's right. And it's legit. Don't worry. It's legit. Like someone's going to shoot
Where
this.
Where do I sign?
So being 22, I was like, yeah, let's do this. I'm there, right? So I got to this building really early in the morning. I think it was in Midtown, New York, and took the elevator all the way up to one of the top floors. And I got out and there was, just an office that was not being used. So just like fully empty office that they were like, all the extras just go sit somewhere over there and we'll call you if we ever need you. And so I was in this office and I heard from the other extras talking that it was a Cameron Crowe movie. And I was like, oh, that's exciting. I love Cameron Crowe. And the PA came around and had us all sign our non-disclosures and we're all getting excited and in our wardrobe. And they take us into the office scene. And that's when the AD or second AD or whoever it was came, you know, explained what we were doing. We were all going to be in this long line of cubicles, right? And the camera was on the end of it. So if we're here, it's like this line behind you. And there are all these little cubicles and they place us all in them. And the AD says, okay, you guys, so in this scene, Tom Cruise is going to walk through the office. And my heart stopped beating because I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I can almost cry right now thinking about it. Like, I was like, this is, I mean, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. I was like, oh my God. Okay. So Tom Cruise is going to walk through this line, right? Past this line of cubicles of all girls. We're all girls. Cause you know, in every Tom Cruise movie, there's like that scene where all the girls fawn over Tom Cruise because he's so amazing and good looking. Well, this is the scene.
He rips off the Ray-Bans, yes. Shoots you a gun with the finger.
Exactly. Yep. It's like anything. He like walks by and looks at you and you're like, oh. And so this was that scene. I'm in that scene. I am in that scene. In the movie. So
goody gumdrops.
We're in this line. They said he's going to walk by and then he's going to go into the other room. That's it. It's just an establishing shot, right? There's no big deal here.
No one here is going to meet Tom Cruise. He's just going to walk right past
you. He's going to walk right by you. We're not even going to focus on you. Like if you're dressed, that's good. But otherwise, like this is not about you. That's how this is set up for us, right? I'm pumped though, because when I was young and I went to this daycare when I was little, and one of the first movies, this is ridiculous, that we saw was Top Gun. And I was obsessed with it.
Hold on.
That's not ridiculous at all. That's awesome.
How old are you at this daycare?
I was trying to think about that this morning. So it came out on VHS when I was 8. So I might have been like somewhere between 8 and 10. I do remember that she fast-forwarded, the woman who owned the daycare, fast-forwarded through the romantic.
Take My Breath
scene.
Away.
Right. Yeah. But we loved this movie.
But not the one where the guy gets his head snapped in two and he bleeds out.
We don't want kids to see kissing, but we do want them to know that people can snap their heads when they're in fighter jets. So I was a big fan of Cruise. So excited that this is about to happen. I'm going to catch a glimpse of him as he saunters by. And I am in the cubicle the furthest away from the camera. Right. Way on the other end. And I start chatting with one of the guys who's there. And I don't know who he is. This is my first time on set. I didn't think to know who he was. And we're just chit chatting a little bit. And then another guy walks up to him. And this guy that I'm talking to makes a comment in his ear and then turns back to me and says, hey, come with me. Well, it turns out that this guy was the first AD. So he's bringing me up to the cubicle in the front by the camera. So when I realized this is happening, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is really exciting. Now I'm right by the camera. Maybe I'll actually make it into the movie as he walks by, possibly, right? Which is exciting. And they give me a bunch, just kind of a U-shaped desk. So I'm faced away from the camera. The camera's behind me. And I'm working on a computer screen. And they had some little, like, you know, photos they wanted me to flick through. And so I'm practicing that move. And I'm really focused because I want to get this right because this is my big shot, right? And so I'm flicking through the pictures and I get settled. I think, oh, I'm good. And I swivel my chair around to face the camera and Tom Cruise is sitting on the other side of the desk.
Jeff, you okay?
This is why I married her. Go on.
And I turn around, see him freeze. And he goes, hey, Christy, what's up? And I was like, oh my gosh, like inside, I mean, this is the most important moment of my life up to this point. I have no idea what to say. I just sit there
like I
can't talk. He knows my name. Tom Cruise knows my name. How? I don't know. I didn't tell him. I was working on pictures and he's just saying hi as if like he's known me forever. Anyway, I freak out. I'm frozen. I don't know what to do. But before I can say anything, smart or not so smart, Cameron Crowe, who's standing behind him by the camera, says, hey, Christy, what's going on? So here's what I want you to do. I'm like, oh, I'm dead. I'm dead inside, right? Jesus. This is over. I have completely died inside.
I mean, you came to this thinking you were doing porn that morning. You had no idea.
Yeah, you had no idea.
I came to this thinking, like, extra work. Like, everybody talks about how horrible extra work is. Like, it's going to be the worst experience. My agent apologized to me. I'm literally there to see what it is like to be on a big set with other actors. I have no, I'm not prepared for this. No one told me that this, that these types of people actually exist. And so, yeah.
And I love that you did it just for the experience. Like, oh, what is it going to be like? And you ended up on like one of the biggest budget films you could have found in New York at the time, right, with the biggest star on the planet, yeah, right, at the, like, still, but you know, like, I just want to get the experience, and you got,
right,
the New York Yankees in the World Series,
right, and
easy Boston Red Sox. That's what he meant, honey. Go on.
It's, I don't even, I mean, here's the thing. If you had told me that before I signed up, I would have been freaking out forever. So it was a good thing that it happened this way, but you can't replicate that. I never did extra work after this ever, because you can't top it. There's no way.
Yeah.
So Cameron Crowe's giving me direction. Tom Cruise is sitting next to me, making my heart go pitter patter. And, then it's time to go. Right. So Tom Cruise gets to his mark. I'm shaking as I'm, you know, trying to click the pictures on the computer, and he comes down the hall. And my direction is that I'm supposed to do my work on the computer, then spin around and watch him walk by. So basically they're using my eyes as the establishing that he's gone around the corner. Right. Lots of pressure, the most pressure I've ever been under as an actress. So I do my job. He walks by. I spin around. I watch him go. He turns around and comes back to the cubicle. And he goes, "Hey, are you new here?"
Oh.
I was like, I turned beet red. I didn't know what to do because, you know, extras aren't supposed to talk. If you talk, they have to pay you more money. Right. So I was like, can I talk? Can I not talk? And so I think stuttered something and turned bright red. And Cameron Crowe goes, "Cut. I love it. Let's try that again." I was like, hyperventilating. Yeah. So we improvised. I improvised with Tom Cruise. I mean, no big deal, right? It's
sure.
Just improvising Tom Cruise like 10 more times.
You improvised a 2-minute monologue. "My name is Sally and I'm from Hartford, Connecticut, and I have dreams one day of establishing an interior design firm. That's why I'm new here. I'm just working my way up through the corporate ladder."
Thanks for asking. Thanks for noticing.
It didn't make the cut.
It didn't. It did not. So yeah, it did not make the cut. But we improvised 10 times. It was amazing. It was very fun. I did manage to get a couple words out, but since it's not in the movie, I did not get paid for that. That's okay. And
do you know which take they used? Was the first take so authentically thrown off your ass by Tom Cruise talking to you that they used that? Do you know which one?
I think they just used, the only thing they used in the movie is me turning around and watching him go. They didn't use any of the improv stuff afterwards. So I don't even know what take that was, but it was awesome. And then afterwards,
but she is in the movie. It is that shot though. It's her, camera's right there. He passes by, he looks at her, she looks at him, and the camera, I believe, holds on Christy as she turns and looks like she's gushing over Cruise.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to share a screenshot do we have rights to share a screenshot of what we're talking about?
We
on
can
our website?
Play an audio version of the screenshot.
What?
We could hire a narrator to describe what the screenshot looks like.
So yeah, and then after we were done, Tom Cruise came up and shook my hand and was like, "Great working with you, Christy. Thanks a lot." And jeez. Cameron Crowe was like, "Thanks a lot, Christy." And I was like, "Great, I'll just, you know, I'll be with the other extras in case you have something else you need from me today. That's where I'll be."
Okay, and we'll be back with more Christy Myers. Honey, who's watching the kids? And we are back with the love of my life, Christy Myers.
And
And then I proceeded to call everyone I knew. Absolutely everyone, including my agent.
From a payphone, I assume. This was a little while ago now.
With my quarters. Didn't bring enough. It was incredible.
I mean, this must be what it's like for, you know, when you hear about veterans of war coming home. And
exactly the same thing.
It's got to be the same thing. Like when you leave,
I see where you're going with
similar,
this.
Right, guys? I mean, it makes sense.
We were doing so well until.
But when you come off set from a moment like that, I remember once when I was so lucky to do this movie called Honey, what was that movie I did?
It was your favorite movie, right? It was your favorite experience.
What was the Beach Boy movies I did? What was that called again? Do you remember that movie?
You can't ask me things like that when you've forgotten, because it's like your brain cancels out my brain.
My favorite. It was my seminal experience as an actor. It was
the show you were in.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I forgot. I did this Beach Boys movie with Paul Dano, and it was just this amazing 2-week experience. And the guy
I'm sorry if you're listening to the podcast. If you have the internet, can you look up the name of Jeff's movie about the Beach Boys? Thanks.
Love and Mercy. I got it. Anyway. I just remember it was like 2 weeks, this extraordinary experience. I ended up not being like, I think they cut everything out of the movie. That's of me in it, like, except for like one line. Anyway, I remember I bumped into the guy that played the drummer in the movie at a Burger King audition. And we just looked at each other and we were just like, cool. This that worked out. And, you know, it's like that feeling like, Christy, you're on set with the biggest actor, you know, top five actors of the time, a director that had just come off of maybe one of the most important movies of the last.
And Kurt Russell walked in while I'm getting notes, it's a cubicle. So now I'm in the cubicle right next to the camera. So the camera's right there. He's right on the other side of the cubicle discussing with Cameron Crowe how short they should cut his hair, because his hair's longer. And it's like being in an alternate universe. It's like you've been living one place for your whole life and like watching movies of this other place, right? But then suddenly you're in that place and you're like, you have no idea how to react. And that's what I was doing in that moment, because I had just met a series of people who
You're just floating. Yeah, it's hard to
just trying to not have anyone notice that I'm also in that area so that I can stay a little bit longer. No, I was soaking it all in. It was crazy.
Nobody amazing. Will ever have a better extra story. Like nobody. No. That's insane.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. And it really is. All the things you hear about him too when you meet him are true. And there is something palpable about his energy. It is very focused. It is very calm. And it's all like when he's talking to you, when he addresses you, it's like you're the only one there. And so it's almost arresting when it happens, because we're so used to people like saying hi, you know, in passing or like kind of not quite looking at you or thinking about what's in their head, but talking to you. And he is all there. He's just all present and all there. And
I bet you get that same feeling of undivided, total
go on
attention from your husband.
There it is.
It is not like that with Jeff.
Now that we have you here, Christy, we've kind of heard flashes of this.
Yes.
Let's hear the first date story, because if there's any place that's the right place to tell it, it's this one. Please.
This is it. Okay.
Also, I enjoy that maybe we can hear different versions of it, because I'm sure Jeff has been making shit up this whole time.
Okay, so first date.
I sat down and a man came up to me and said, have you ever met Tom Cruise? And I said, yes. And he goes, continue.
Would you like to marry me?
Basically, that's what happened. So we were living in New York at the time. This was, a year later after I shot Vanilla Sky with Tom Cruise. We met in late 2001 on the set of Guiding Light. And he was quite taken with me.
I put him off for as long as I could.
Sure. She did. No, she really did. She gave me, she was very professional. She gave me her email and she's like, I have a friend who looks like you. So if there's any roles that I think are right for you that he gets, his auditions he gets, I'll send you those auditions. I was like,
Jeff was worried he wasn't getting enough auditions. And I was like, don't worry, I can help you. We're actors here.
Yeah. So I sent her an email one day without getting into details where it's like, let's get together. And she was like, no, that's weird. And I was like, all right, cool. And then we bumped into each other at an audition months later, like somewhere in 2002, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Like in the spring of 2002, we bumped into each other at an audition. And I was like, oh no, when I saw him walking down the hall, this is that guy I blew off by email.
Oh, in the email, I had said to you, let's go get hot chocolate.
Right.
In one of the emails, because that was my go-to. Guys, right. That was Jeff Meacham's go-to move with the ladies.
Oh, yeah.
Is I was like, hey, you want to go get hot chocolate? You know why? Because this goes back to my food addiction. I had seen like in a Time Out magazine, the top 10 hot chocolate places in New York. And I was like, I want to go to all those. So I'll invite a girl. And so she saw.
I mean, what a fucking Casanova. Hey, I'm not getting enough auditions.
How
go
did
get
I
hot cocoa?
How did I win the jackpot?
If there's any way into a woman's head.
And Chrissy, just so you know, the I saw Jeff coming down and I thought, oh, no. You're not the only one. That is.
And Christy, what did you say to me when you saw me? What was your memory?
I said, my memory is that I was like, oh my gosh, I've been meaning to call you. Do you want to go get some hot chocolate?
No, you said, that's right. You called me or you were like, oh, hot chocolate. Like that was your connection to me.
See, guys,
that was my hook.
Also, you guys, Jeff was very popular. Like, we're talking about him being silly, but all the girls wanted Jeff. He had long, wavy hair.
Really?
Yes, it was, like, down to here, and it was wavy, and he was
My stomach just turned, but okay.
In fairness, when Jeff and I met, we did not become instantly friends, but we hung in the same circle, and Jeff was really... I'll admit, he was very popular. Everybody knew who Jeff
Mitchell. That's right.
Joel, was Jeff like, hey, Joel, want to get some hot chocolate?
No, but Joel did see me naked many times.
The first night I met Jeff, I saw him naked in a hallway, running down a hallway.
And you went, oh, no. See, everyone does it.
I did a lot of streaking.
And by the end of the month, he got half of the campus to streak across the field.
Yeah,
Balliol College in Oxford.
And the stuff you learn on meeting Tom Cruise. Let's get to the date here. We got to wrap this up.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. So we decide to go on this date that was supposed to be lunch, but then Jeff had a softball game, so he couldn't make lunch. So we had to move it to dinner. So we met in Astoria. We were going to meet in Astoria for dinner, but Jeff's car got booted or towed.
Towed. I was going to go pick her up, but I parked in front of someone's driveway, so my car got towed.
Yeah, so his car got towed.
For the fifth time.
Which is a great way to start off a relationship. But anyway, I met him, and we went to this little Greek restaurant in Astoria, and we sat down, and we talked for hours. We talked a lot. And I know he brought up Tom Cruise on that date, about how much he liked Tom Cruise. And we talked about Top Gun because we both were big fans. And then I was like, oh, well, you know, I've worked with Tom Cruise. And Jeff was like, please tell me more. And so I told him the story and the rest is history. I think it was, you know, he was smitten after that. He was convinced.
He went home and started ring shopping.
This is dead serious, you guys. She said at one point in the conversation, you know, when you do the thing, you're like, what's your favorite? Like, what are your hobbies? You know, where like someone like me was like, oh, I like to windsurf and play tennis and like answer just like shallow, dumb questions. And yes, I do like to windsurf. I said, what are your, like some of your hobbies? And she just with those piercing blue eyes, the sweetest face just goes, you know, I really like to listen. And I was like, I like to talk. This is going to work. I'm not kidding.
That's, like, that's the last activity Jeff is capable of on the planet is listening.
How do you do that?
I mean, I literally take medication because I struggle with it. And she was like, it's a hobby of mine.
I will say, though, I was listening to one of your podcasts and you were talking about what is similar between... you were asking like, what's similar between you and Tom Cruise? And there is something similar. Jeff and Tom Cruise have something very similar.
Ooh, go on.
They both when they're enthusiastic about something, they're very enthusiastic about it. Do you know what I mean? Like Jeff is, you hear about Tom Cruise just like goes all in all the time. And at least when you meet him too, my experience was, is that he was just so present. And Jeff, when he gets excited about something, he's all in. You know, he's just, he's excited about it. He's all in and he keeps, it's like an obsession. He just keeps going after it. Can't
stop talking
can't
about
stop
it.
And then stops about 65% of the way through and moves on to something else he's really excited about.
Until Ab says, wait, back up. We have something there. Let's go with that.
Tell me more about your windsurfing.
See, to tack on a windsurfer, you got to turn. No, Jeff.
That was an invitation. Nope. And so let's just wrap this up with, in case people missed it the first time you said it, because now I could look into Christy's eyes and know whether or not it's true. Tell me about the wedding music.
Oh, yeah. Honey, what song did we enter to at our wedding reception?
Danger Zone.
That's right. Highway to the Danger Zone. 124 people.
I'm just going to say it was not my idea. I did not come up with that.
Get out of town.
Walked into the tent. I looked at my friends Chris and Keith that were running the DJ booth, and I said, hit it. And they cranked up Danger Zone to an 11.
I do believe he walked in dancing to that one as well. Like, I think there were arms up in the air.
There was a lot of, like, you take the hand up and you pull it down because every, you know, there was a lot of highway. I mean, how can you not? How can you
Which
not?
Which really fit in because we got married on a farm in Cape Cod. So everyone was really prepared for that.
It was it was romantic right up until that moment.
It was.
Honey, I love you. This is going to be the best one. This is honestly why we started this podcast. When Joel and I were always telling stories and you've been with me for so long, and we've been talking about Cruise. And when you told me this story, it's always been a seed in the back of my mind. Like, I can't wait to hear her talk about this. I remember I thought about putting it into a movie or all that, all these ideas, and Alec and Joel honed it down, and here we are. And I love that you're on our podcast telling the story.
Thank you for having me, guys. It was really fun.
All right. And as we bring this episode to a close, I just want to read some of the nice reviews that we've gotten and just give you guys a chance to thank these folks who've written these reviews to us. Top Fun says, hey. Oh no, I'm sorry.
That's a fun His name pun. Is Top,
no, Top Fun is actually the name of it. Of the review. Top Podcast Reviewer.
Oh, they are?
It's right in his name.
It's on his birth certificate.
Searching for a podcast as deep as Tom Cruise's dimples. This ain't it. And that's exactly why it's so awesome. It's just two hilarious guys sitting around talking about how much Tom had them at Hello and pining for the day when they'll actually get to meet him. This podcast completes me.
Aw, top podcast on, reviewer.
That makes me smile. I wish I had dimples. Joel, do you have dimples? You do, don't,
I don't.
You?
No, I don't.
Are those dimples or are those just lines?
I think they're just lines.
Okay, so we're done thanking him. Penton25 says, these guys are great and have rekindled my love for Tom Cruise. The laughs never stop. Their producer, Alec Lev, is hilariously negative. So funny and perfect. Oh, thank you, Penton25.
Very accurate, Penton25.
Hilariously is objective. You know what I mean? That's
hold on. Kinda... Is what?
Subjective? Objective.
And with that, Meeting Tom Cruise is hosted by Jeff Meacham, Joel Johnstone, and me, Alec Lev.
Another thing, just full disclosure, I have no clue what the difference between the two is.
It's also produced by the same Alec Lev.
Like then and Dan, no clue.
Our executive producers are Doug Matica and Dan Patrick. Our engineer and mixer is Alex Reeves for Point of Blue Studios.
You know, the theirs always throw me for a loop.
Editing by Alec Lev, with additional editing by Alex Reeves. Our music is by H. Scott Salinas and Matthew Atticus Berger.
What's another one that I don't have a clue about?
Oh, I mean, we don't have time, Jeff.
Artwork by Rebecca Montoya. Executive produced by Paul Anderson and Nick Pinella for Workhouse Media. We are a production of Meeting So-and-So in association with Workhouse Media.
The twos throw me for a loop. When do I write T-O-O compared to T-O?
Really? Really.
Find us online at Meeting Cruise on Instagram and Twitter. Check out our website and show notes at meetingtomcruise.com. And you can email us at contact@meetingtomcruise.com.
Do you know the it's difference?
Well, I know this one. This one's easy. It is. It's whenever it's it is.
Wow. Okay, there we go.
But give me a sentence without it is, because I never know when is that. Does that even exist?
Does it exist in it's without the apostrophe?
Yeah. Does an it's exist without it? I don't. Give me a sentence with it. I can't. Alec, do you have a sentence?
Of course I do, but I'm busy reading the credits. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please give us a rating. 5 stars are much appreciated. And write a review. It really helps people to find the show, and we just might read it on the air. Meeting Tom Cruise was created by Jeff Meacham and Alec Lev.
Anyway, thanks for the review.
Meeting Tom Cruise is a production of the Dan Patrick Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Bomb blowing up.